Isn't he doing a good job, Songley? Oh, bless him. Well done. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. The title of my sermon tonight is, A Loss is Not the End of the World. A loss is not the end of the world. Last week we spent a few moments in chapter 29, we focused upon the fact that David unfortunately was aligned with the Philistines to battle against God's people. But as the chapter closed, we find that God in his graciousness leads David and his men out of this very sticky situation of where he was willing to battle against his own people. And this leads us into chapter 30, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1, 2 and 3 read, And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag, and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would draw us near to the cross this evening. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. A loss is not the end of the world. And I'd like to just spend a few moments this evening, more of a devotional thought concerning the fact that David, in returning to Ziklag was where his family was based and his men. You might recall that the king of Gath gave to David a place of residence. And while David was aligning with the Philistines to battle against the nation of Israel, the Amalekites came in, and the Bible teaches us that they burnt the city down, and they took captive the people from the city. And David, upon his return, finds the city burnt down, and wives and children taken captive. Verse number 4 goes on to read, Then David and the people that were with him lift up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Last week we stressed the fact, if David was just initially, if he could have just been in position, this would not have happened. In fact, he shouldn't have been there in Ziklag. He should have been amongst his people. He was camping on a ungodly campsite. And even within that, he was aligning himself with the Philistines to battle against God's people. And therefore, it was during this moment of weakness that the Amalekites came in and took captive family members of David and many, many others. So the Bible teaches us upon their return, they weep bitterly. And verse number 5 goes on to read, And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And note verse 6, And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So back in verse number 4, the Bible teaches us that they were weeping and grieving over the fact that they had lost loved ones at the hand of the Amalekites. But here in verse number 6, David is grieved even further by the fact that the people turned on him and for whatever reason were wanting to stone him because of their current distress. And this certainly must have been a disappointment to David. But yet we note at the end of verse number 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, we see a contrast here. In a time of loss, we see the majority, if not all, minus David, pointing the finger and blaming others. And this is often what we're guilty of in times of loss, that we can be guilty of blaming others to the point where they were prepared to stone David, their leader, because they were so heartbroken concerning their loss. But David had a completely different attitude. The Bible teaches us that David chose to focus upon his God, and he encouraged himself in the Lord in this time of loss. Now all of us experience loss from time to time. Attitude is everything. And even though David was far from perfect, if he'd only been in his place originally, all of this would not have happened. But be encouraged, brethren, God is still on our side. And God is still in control. So David chose to encourage himself in the Lord in his time of loss. And beyond that, because his focus was upon his God, note then verse number 7 that he sought direction from God concerning what to do next. Note then verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. The ephod was a means of seeking direction from God. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Verse 8 goes on to read, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David, instead of blaming others or blaming himself, David decided, I'm going to seek God and ask for God's direction. And that is wise advice for you and I. All of us from time to time will suffer loss in some way. And wisdom would say, let's focus upon the Lord, because a loss is not the end of the world. God is still seated in the heavenlies. So David chooses to encourage himself in the Lord. In other words, he focused upon all that God is, and that encouraged them. When we focus upon all that God is gracious and God is loving and God is forgiving and God is in control and God is all-powerful, just focusing upon the person and work of God, it'll do us all good. It's good medicine to focus upon all that God is. See, David's people failed to focus upon their God. They were focused upon their loss. And because David wisely focused upon all that God is, this gave him some perspective. This gave him some direction. So he automatically went to the next point of seeking God's direction. God, what do I do next? What do I do about our current loss? So God honored that seeking of guidance, and the Bible teaches us that God said to David, pursue. You will overtake them. In fact, you will recover all. So God wonderfully directed David and said, pursue the Amalekites, and I will promise you, you will recover all. So in his loss, he seeks direction. And that's good advice as well. In your time of loss, seek God's direction. In your time of loss, focus upon all that God is. Don't focus upon yourself because you might be disappointed. Don't focus upon others, then you'll be really disappointed. But let's focus upon the Lord. So he focused upon the Lord, he sought God's direction, and by faith he pursued. Note verse 10. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. So there in verse number 9, the Bible teaches us that initially there were 600 that supported David in pursuing the Amalekites, but 200 of them grew weary, so they remained behind. So David pursued. He pressed forward for the Lord. And that's good advice for you and I. In our times of loss, it is important that we focus upon the Lord. It is important that we seek God's direction. It is important that we press forward by faith. And that's exactly what David did. He pressed forward by faith. Because God had promised, David, you will recover all. But he had to launch out by faith. He had to resist having a pity party. He had to resist feeling sorry for himself. He had to focus upon his God, and as God guided, he had to press forward, claiming the promises of God. And so he did. And with 400 men, he pursued the Amalekites. Let's move on to verses 11 and 12. And the Bible reads, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And note verse 13, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Where are you from? And whence art thou? Where are you going? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. So here we find David pursuing the Amalekites, and as he was pursuing, he comes across an Egyptian who is in need, and he chooses to voluntarily meet the needs of this man, and in the process he simply asks this man, where are you from, where are you going? And the man happened to say, well, I was a servant of an Amalekite, but because I'd been sick, I was left behind. And because David took an interest and sought to minister, God in his providence provided a link towards the fulfillment of that promise that God had given to David, that he will recover all. And the point I want to make is this. It's always right to do right, is it not? It's always right to do right. See, David in his loss inquired of God. David in his loss sought God's direction. David in his loss received the guidance of God, and by faith he pressed forward. David in his loss pressed forward, and there before him was a need. So David, being a compassionate man of God, certainly not perfect. The best of men are at best only men, and how true that is, even in people in the lives of people like David, that's very evident. So he decided to minister. He had no ill motives, he just ministered. And as he ministered, he no doubt built a relationship with this Egyptian and had the confidence to just ask him, please tell me about yourself. And it so happened, by coincidence. No, not by coincidence. Well, this fellow said, well, I used to serve an Amalekite, and because I wasn't well, I've been left behind to die. So God, in his providential care, provides for David in his time of loss. David was a man that was others focused. And let me encourage you this evening, during your times of loss, it would do us well to seek opportunities to minister to others. It would do us well to seek to be a blessing to others. Stop focusing upon your loss and yourself and focus upon others, because that very one that God places before you to minister to might be the key to where you will recover all, so to speak. Well, no coincidence. The providential care of God was upon David. And then verse number 14 goes on to read, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with fire. So this Egyptian was involved in the destroying of David's city, David's people. Did David have a bad attitude? He had every reason to, in theory. No, the Bible goes on to teach in verse 15, and David said to him, canst thou bring me down to the company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. The Egyptian said to David, David, I'll tell you exactly where they're at, but please promise me that you won't kill me. And David gave him that assurance. And note then verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. Note verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. So God answered David's request. God kept his promise to David that is outlined there in verse number 8, that you will, without fail, recover all. So David pursued, David sought direction, David ministered to others, and in God's providential care, God led David to the Amalekites and gave them the strength and ability to conquer the Amalekites and repossess all that belonged to them. What a great day of victory was had by David. Too bad if David had had a pity party. Too bad if David had chosen to point the finger of all those that were pointing the finger at him. No, David kept his eyes upon the Lord. And let me encourage you, in your time of loss, they will come. Focus upon the Lord. Seek His direction. And as God guides you, by faith, obey. And as you follow God's direction, as God gives you opportunities to minister to others, minister, serve, be a blessing. Because that one that you bless might in turn be a blessing to you. And this Egyptian certainly was. He told David exactly where the Amalekites were. And David was able to recover all, the Bible teaches us. And verse number 24 teaches us that David was willing to share all that he had recovered. Note verse 24, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the staff. They shall part alike." Verse 25 and 26. "And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." See, there were some that said to David, now those 200 men that turned back, they don't deserve a thing. But that wasn't David's attitude. One for all and all for one was David's attitude. God has given us the victory. I'm going to share the spoil with all of God's people. So David had a very generous spirit. David, in his time of loss, was able to recover. And in his recovery, he maintained a spirit of generosity. God was gracious to David. God not only delivered David and his men there in chapter 29 from a very difficult situation where they were aligned, they were allies with the Philistines to attack God's people, and God in his graciousness delivered them out of that very difficult situation. But even though God was gracious to him there, he paid a price for his negligence and disobedience. But in the midst of all that, because David kept his focus upon his God, because David sought God's direction, because David obeyed the word of God by faith, claiming the promises of God, because David was focused upon others, God enabled him to recover. God enabled him to recover. What a wonderful conclusion to this chapter. God promised David, you will recover all. And certainly, David did. A loss is not the end of the world, provided we choose to honour our God. And certainly, David had his faults and David had his shortcomings, but David was focused upon his God. And may God help us to focus upon the Lord. Because a loss is not the end of the world if you will honour God. Let's choose to encourage our hearts in the Lord. Let's choose to focus upon all that God is. God is all powerful. God is in control. God is full of grace. God is forgiving. God is. That's what really matters. All that God is. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everywhere present. Our God is a wonderful God. And that's where we need to focus, because a loss is not the end of the world, provided you honour the Lord. Now in contrast to the life of David, we have a sad ending to the life of King Saul. I'd like for us to move into chapter 31 and note the contrast. See, David recovered all. Saul lost all. Let's note chapter 31 and we'll close with this. I'll read verse 1. If you would join with me and read verse 2 with me, let's finish the chapter together. Okay? Verse 1 reads, chapter 31, verse 1, join with me on every second verse, please. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore, was very severe against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about, to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. What a sad ending to the life of Saul. What a sad ending to the life of Saul. Defeated by the Philistines. But please bear in mind that David at one point was aligned with these Philistines. David could have been involved, could have been a part of all this. But God in his graciousness led David out. But the Philistines pursued. And the Bible teaches us that Saul was killed, his sons were killed, his armor bearer killed himself. A sad ending to the life of a man that had such great potential. Saul, the first king of Israel, had great potential. But yet, because of his failure to honour God, had a miserable end. See, an end is not the end of the world, provided you honour the Lord. But what a contrast that is to the life of Saul. When I think of Saul, I think of an individual that was unspiritual. I think you'd have to agree with me there. Saul wasn't very spiritual. He failed to seek God's direction. He failed to honor God. Saul was insecure. Saul just couldn't trust anybody. Though he had loyal individuals in his life like Jonathan, this man was driven by jealousy, insecurity. He was unforgiving. David tried to reconcile with Saul a number of times, but he just wouldn't reconcile. Saul lacked patience, didn't trust anybody. We could go on and on concerning the shortcomings of Saul. Now, I don't think that I need to convince you that Saul was not awfully spiritual. And what a sad ending. He lost his head and his body was abused by his enemies. What a sad ending. And I think God has chosen to place the recording of this sad ending for you and I, that we might be sobered by the fact that, hey, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. See, David had his shortcomings. David was far from perfect. David made some mistakes. He suffered some loss. But yet, at the end of the day, David sought the Lord. He focused upon his God. He sought God's direction. He pressed forward. He was focused upon others. He was gracious. He was giving. He wasn't selfish. He was forgiving. If there was a man that deserved the right not to forgive, it was David. For all of his loyalty, the king just constantly tried to kill him. Yet he was forgiving. He was gracious. He was loyal. And my friend this evening, what a sharp contrast to King Saul. David had his losses, but because he sought the Lord, he was able to recover. And let me encourage you this evening, the next time you suffer a loss, please follow David's example. Let's focus upon the Lord. Let's seek His direction. Let's not become introvert. Let's focus upon others. Let's focus upon the Lord. Because in the Lord, a loss is not the end of the world. God is able. And God can recover all. But poor, poor Saul. What a sad ending to a life that was far from honourable to God. May God help us to emulate the life of David, who chose to follow the Lord. And thereby a loss was not the end of the world. So I don't know what you're going through this evening or what you will go through in the days to come, but let me encourage you, a loss is not the end of the world, provided you and I honour the Lord and stay true to Him. May God help us to apply these principles to our lives as the people of God. Let's bow for prayer.